A few years ago, I got the idea that I wanted to sell women's clothing and lingerie, but I had no idea where to get started. I was so overwhelmed, but then I found Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. One of the biggest obstacles for a first-time shop owner like me is having no e-commerce experience, but Shopify simplified everything so much that the site became the least of my worries. What I love about Shopify is that they give you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. From the graphic design aspect to making customer service super easy on my end, there's nothing you can't do. Sign up for a $1 per month trial at shopify.com/forthegirls, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/forthegirls now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/forthegirls. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn can be in your hands today with EarnIn. EarnIn empowers you to live life to the fullest by providing up to $100 a day of your pay within minutes of earning it. No mandatory fees and no credit check. Access up to $750 per pay period. It's easy and free to get started. Add your bank and employment info and they'll verify your paycheck. I just booked a few trips for this year, so I know I'd use the money I got from EarnIn on my travel expenses. Make EarnIn a part of your financial routine and join EarnIn's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about EarnIn, I think about financial stability, security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download EarnIn today, spelled EARNIN, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the EarnIn app, type in For the Girls under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. For the Girls under podcast. Subject to your available earnings, daily max and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. EarnIn is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust. Member FDIC.
Settling is not an option for me. Everything I desire is already mine. What if you can have it all? Because every day is for the girls.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of For the Girls. I'm your host, Victoria Alario. And today, we're talking all things physical and mental health, how and when to know to leave your relationship, your healing journey, and just all in all, feeling good in your skin. We have an amazing guest. She goes by Alessia Sculpt, and she's a content creator and the founder of A Sculpt Body. She has a super inspiring story around fitness and wellness and how it's gotten her through some really hard times, from the passing of her mother to her divorce. In this conversation, we got to talk about healthy habits, comparing yourself to others, Pilates, having balance in your life, moving on, and so much more. I loved learning about her story, and I think you girls will love hearing about it. So let's get right into it. Welcome to For the Girls, Alessia. Introduce yourself to the girls.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here. So I'm Alessia, Alessia Sculpt on socials. I'm the founder of asculptbody.com, which is an online fitness platform with all low impact workouts. I actually didn't start my journey in fitness or online. I'm also a content creator now focusing on like wellness, lifestyle, obviously some fitness. I actually started my career in finance. I worked in finance for almost like 10 years. It was a very intense, stressful environment. I had a really toxic boss at one point that kind of pushed me over the edge. And then I started thinking like bigger picture about what I wanted to do and how I wanted to live my life. And I really didn't know what that was, but I knew I loved fitness. I had started working out after my mom passed away when I was 20 years old, and I loved it. And it was kind of like the highlight of my days when I was working in finance. And so I started to teach fitness on the side, just like for fun. And I ended up really falling in love with it. And so I taught in person while working my full-time finance job for a while, and then ultimately started my own online business, ended up quitting finance, and have been doing this full time since. And, you know, I speak obviously about fitness on my platform, but more holistically, I also talk about relationships. I recently went through a divorce, like so many things, this element of balance in life. Like, I do love fitness, but because I'm a regular girl who worked a regular job for so long, like, I'm all about like working out to feel good, but not making life, you know, your fitness. Mm-hmm. So I talk about all these things on my platform.
Wow. I love that. So well-rounded.
That's like a lot of info, right?
No, it's perfect. It's perfect. I find your fitness and wellness journey to be really inspiring because you do talk a lot about how it got you through some tough times from, like you mentioned, your mom's passing to your divorce. And we will get into the divorce a little bit later in this conversation, but when I was, not only did you just say it now, but when I was looking through your content, you really like put it out there that your mom's passing was kind of like your starting point with fitness. So tell us about that. How did one lead to the other?
Yeah. So I never really grew up athletic at all. Like, I wasn't really into sports. I was the one who was like falling behind in gym class, like could barely do, I don't know if you had to do the beep test, but I was like the worst. Like, I really didn't love it. And my whole family was pretty athletic and into fitness and wellness. And then my mom passed away from skin cancer when I was 20, and she used to work out, like, she loved it. And she always worked out at this one studio up until pretty close to when she passed away, when she, like, you know, obviously at a certain point, she didn't have the energy for it anymore. But that workout studio hosted a charity workout class in her honor after she passed. And I went just to like go support them and thank them for, you know, all that they were doing. And I did the workout and I like could not do it. And I was with all these like 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds, 60-year-olds, because it was this small studio kind of in the suburbs of Toronto where I'm from. And I was like so gassed and like looking around at all these older women who were killing it. And that was really the beginning, because I remember thinking like all these women are doing it. My mom used to do this every day. Like, I'm embarrassed. And I started going there to work out. And I really started to love it. And it helped me feel closer to my mom. My mom passed away when I was in university. I was like, or college. I was studying. I was partying. I like had just started dating a new guy. And that's the guy I ended up actually marrying and then divorcing. but I was so in my life. I feel like I didn't really process that she was gone. But working out helped me kind of process and feel closer to her.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. That it is funny. Like, it's interesting how you said, like, you know, you took the class and you couldn't even do it. And you're like looking around like, okay, yeah, if these people could do it, I got to figure this out. Yeah. I can
it was
do
like
it too.
Moms and grandmas. Like, it was like older women who were so strong. And I was like, this is wild. Like, I got to get my act together.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that in general just goes to show with, like, I feel like there's so much judgment in, like, gym culture and people look at people in the gym. There's, like, a lot of that on TikTok. And realistically, at the end of the day, like, anybody, like, you can't judge a person by whether it's their age or their body type. Like, you have no idea. People look at me and they tell me that I'm in shape because I'm quite petite. But I'm like, girl, I can't walk up a flight of stairs without getting out of breath. Like, I'm actually not in shape just because I'm maybe smaller naturally. But yeah, totally. It just goes to show, like, you really never know, you know?
Yeah. And that's why I'm such a big proponent about working out for how you feel. So to feel really good. So, like, even yesterday I did a Q&A on my stories and someone said, what setting do I put on my Apple Watch for your workouts? And I was like, honestly, I don't recommend doing any settings or using your Apple Watch at all, because that's so focused on like calories and, you know, like the burn and what all of, like, it's so focused on numbers. Same thing, like, I don't weigh myself. I got rid of my scale years ago because it's not about the aesthetics or the weight or the calories. It's about working out to fuel your life and to feel really good. So, and doing the workouts that do that, you know, like a low impact Pilates workout, is it going to burn the most calories on your Apple Watch? Probably not, but you're going to leave feeling so amazing, strong, confident, energized, as opposed to like a 20 kilometer run where you might burn a ton of calories, but you're going to finish being like, whew, I'm exhausted. right? So, and because I worked in finance and I would work out in the mornings before I started work, I know that firsthand because I really had to work out in a way that fueled me for that job.
Yeah. Oh my God. I love that. And it's so true. I think a lot of people look at the scale and like their weight as the goal, but that doesn't always have to be what should No. be. The goal is like you feeling your best. And I'm, you know, women, girls, like we all, our bodies fluctuate, whether it's hormones, whatever Yeah. it is that we're going through, stress, anxiety. And I'm in a stage right now where I'm up in weight, but I don't even weigh myself. For me, the way I really gauge it is like how I, when I feel comfortable in my clothes, like once I start feeling like I am not fitting in these pants, like I'm not comfortable or like something is squeezing me, I'm like, I don't want to have to be stuffed in my clothes. It doesn't make me feel good. So yes, I actually am selling a lot of clothes. I'm going up a size, which is fine.
I
but
love that.
Also my goal is I do have some more expensive items of clothing that I'm determined to fit in.
Fair,
I'm like,
fair.
I'm not getting rid of this dress. Not just not yet. But like that to me is the goal, feeling good in my clothes, you know, when
yeah.
I, and it doesn't matter. I could weigh the same, but maybe the inches will change, you know, like you just have no idea. So yeah, that obsession with the scale is not, it's not good. Or even like the, you know, calories and whatnot.
Yeah, 100%. I used to be a lot more into aesthetics. And actually how I got out of it was when I got married, I was 27 and I really like dieted and hardcore worked out for the wedding, like full-blown bridal mode, you know, mm-hmm. which is so common in our culture. And I got to my, you know, thinnest, leanest state and I didn't feel like happier in my body. It was like the first time I had this realization where skinny doesn't necessarily mean happier.
Mm-hmm.
And since then I've fluctuated so many times based on what's going on in my life. Like when I was going through my divorce, I lost a lot of weight because when I'm stressed, my appetite is the first thing to go. And everyone was commenting, "You look amazing." And I was like, that's crazy because I feel the worst.
Yeah,
and
wow.
then after that, I kind of swung in the other direction. I gained some weight, but and I wasn't getting like, you know, the same kind of compliments. But I on the inside have been was and still kind of am at that place where I'm feeling so good. So you just never know by looking at someone.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to talk about how your program launched, A-Sculpt Body. How did you know, going to that class and finally getting into fitness lead to you launching this? I just love to hear the story like behind a business and how it came to be. So give us like the full picture.
Yeah, totally. So I started, well, what's funny is I can tell the story now and it all kind of makes sense. But mm-hmm. when I was in it, I think this is important to say, like when I was in it, I didn't know what I was doing. I was just putting one foot in front of the other and like moving toward what felt good. And I think sometimes we listen to people who started businesses or multiple businesses, entrepreneurs, and you're like, oh, I could never do that because like, look at how everything fell into place. And it's like, the reality is day by day, you're just doing the best you can and putting, you know, the next plan into motion and doing the next thing. But I was teaching in person at this workout studio in Toronto part-time while I was still working full-time in finance. And I started to love it. I really felt connected to it. I had always kind of been into teaching and sharing my knowledge. Like I was like a TA, like a, you know, teaching assistant at, in college for different courses. I always tutored growing up and I loved it. And I thought, this is amazing. I would love to do this more full-time, but it's not realistic financially or with my lifestyle to teach in a fitness studio. Like I just didn't want that. I didn't want to be that person that was like having to show up at 6 a.m., 7 a.m. to teach classes or train because what are people's training schedules? They're like early in the morning at lunch and after work. And I was like, I just don't want to do that. And even if I did, I don't think I would make enough money to support my lifestyle. So then I was like, well, what could I do? Mind you, this was before COVID. So no one was really online and I, except for like a few bigger players like Melissa Wood and Megan Roop and, you know, some people on YouTube. And I was like, I'm going to go online. So I built my online fitness platform before COVID and I was ready to launch in the spring of 2020. And then when I was prepping for that and when COVID hit in March, I was like, oh my God, I've been planning for an online presence for the last 6, 8, 10 months. I'm ready to go. So I launched it in COVID and it obviously was, you know, a terrible time for the world, but good timing for me in my fitness career journey. And then specifically with my online platform, I focus on low impact, like Pilates inspired sculpt workouts. And that really came from taking all these bootcamp classes in person when I was working in finance and always injuring myself. It'd always be like burpees, squat jumps, all of that. And so because I was getting injured at those, I started offering low impact options in my classes that I was teaching and people were taking them. So when I was thinking about like, how could I differentiate my online platform? I was like, okay, I'm going to do low impact workouts. And this was way, now Pilates on TikTok is like, everyone's doing it. Mm-hmm. This was like in 2019. This was like 5 years ago when like that wasn't a thing. People were going to Barry's, like Rumble, like Spin, Soul Cycle. Like it was not an age or era of Pilates sculpt low impact workouts. So that's kind of how I got started. And from there, I worked both jobs, finance and building my, you know, teaching in person and building my online platform for 2 years. And then I took a sabbatical from my full-time job before I quit. So like a lot of times people quit and just dive right in before they really know if their new business is going to go anywhere. I wanted to be kind of sure that like it was something. So I took 6 months unpaid leave. And then I knew like pretty soon into that I wasn't going to go back to my full-time job. And I've been doing content creation and my online fitness platform full-time since then.
Isn't that like the most rewarding, like life-changing feeling to know that you didn't at that time, you know, have to go back to work?
Yeah, it really was. Like, and now I can never remember, I can never imagine like going into an office and like working for someone else. Like, it, I mean, the thing is, it takes so much to do this, like so much dedication, commitment, resilience, like doing your own thing, as you know, like it's so hard, but it's so worth it.
Yeah. I mean, it's especially rewarding when you get to leave, you know, your job or such like an intense workplace for your own passion project. Like that is just like the best feeling. So I know. And once you're out of it, like once you're far enough removed from it, yeah, you can't even remember what it's like.
I know. It feels like another entire life. Like it doesn't like, I mean, I guess it was a chapter of my life, but it feels far away. I'm friends with some of my finance friends still. One of them is actually one of my good friends. And I saw her the other day and she was telling me about work. And it's crazy because like she's still doing the same kind of things. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I have done 8 million things.
I know. You're like, oh yeah. You're like, that's what my life would be like, you know, right. If I didn't take that jump. So
yeah,
it's crazy. As far as with Pilates, I thoroughly enjoy Pilates. I actually used to do it years ago when I was living in Miami, like I mentioned to you before the call that I was there for a while, but I didn't even know that that was what Pilates was because that's not what they called it. It had like a different name to it, but it was on the reformer. And so now when I look back, I'm like, wait, I used to take Pilates. Yeah. I didn't even realize. And I do enjoy it. Unfortunately, now, years later, I can't even afford a Pilates membership because now it's like all the rage. It's like the one over here by me is like $500 a month. You know, that's, it's a car payment.
Obscene.
Yeah, it is. It is absolutely. They're always blowing up my phone, of course, because I took a free class there. So they're always like,
Yeah, they're
like, you want to join? I'm like, still not yet. But of course, you know, if it wasn't for that, I would love to do Pilates. And right now it is a huge thing, but it's really a trend, but like you said, it's more sustainable than trendy. So what is it about Pilates? Why is it such a game changer for women? Why is it so sustainable?
Well, it's very effective. Like there's so much control involved in the moves while still being very gentle on the body. So it's like you feel the burn. There's so much control. There's so much focus. You're really taking your mind to those muscles and engaging them. And so you feel that a lot, but you're not putting so much pressure on your body, on your joints. It's also not spiking your cortisol levels, like your stress hormone. It's keeping you pretty balanced. So when your stress hormone, your cortisol is high, that can create inflammation in the body. And so when you keep it low, like with, you know, keeping or doing like more approachable, more low impact workouts, then you're not spiking that cortisol and you're keeping your inflammation low. And that's going to feel a lot better on the body. So you're going to actually enjoy it. And you're also going to see results. And that's what's going to keep you coming back. And that's the consistency. And the results come from consistency, right? Like you're not going to go work out and see results in a day or 2 days in a week. You got to stay on it, you know, 4 times a week for weeks, months. And so whatever workout you can do consistently is where you're going to see those results. And then with Pilates, I just think like it's such like a beautiful, gentle way to get that movement in and move the body that you're just going to like love it, which is going to keep you coming back even more. And my workouts are like Pilates inspired. I'm actually bar certified. So they're what I call sculpts. So they're low impact Pilates like ish, but I do use, sometimes it's a little bit of a faster tempo, and I do often use like props, like weights, bands, ankle weights, and sometimes even heavier weights for strength workouts that are still rooted in those like low impact, gentle, but effective like pillars.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes perfect sense. For girls that are on a weight loss journey, which we kind of just like started to talk about for a second, what would you say are like the healthiest habits, whether it's, you know, diet habits, wellness habits, fitness habits, that are best to pair with this type of workout, something low intensity like Pilates or a bar, the low impact workouts that will help them reach their goals?
Yeah, well, I'm all about what you can add in. I do love how you ask the question, because I think a lot of the time people ask the question as, what can you take out? Like, what can you do less of to reach your goals? And I actually am all about, what can you add in? I loved how you frame that, because I think when you add in more good stuff, you just by nature like have less room, you know, for the rest. So you can crowd out the stuff that's maybe like not really serving you. Love Pilates as a foundation. Also think that strength training is really important to build muscle mass and be able to like have the strength and even endurance to like functional strength for your life. So to be able to carry your groceries home, to be able to lift something up on the top shelf, like if you have, you know, if you have kids or maybe like little nieces or nephews or something, to be able to lift them up and play with them. So I think strength training is really important for day-to-day life. And then getting those walks in and just like getting outside, getting fresh air for the physical body, but also for mental health, super important. And then adding in like all the little habits, adding, you know, more hydration. So an extra glass of water. And I love to have it stacked. So like in the morning, I'll have my coffee, but with it every single morning. And I started this years ago and I've been doing it every single day. It's always a big glass of water at the same time as my coffee. Once the coffee's done, it's time to chug the rest of the water. And that makes sure after you sleep, because when you sleep, you get really dehydrated. So after you sleep, you're replenishing. Adding in an extra serving of veggies at your lunch and at your dinner. Like all these little habits really do make a difference. But if I had to really boil it down, it would be like your hydration. Oh, sleep is something I didn't mention, but getting those 8 hours, getting your walks in, adding in strength workouts, and adding in more veggies into your life. And a little bit of all of that is going to take you a long way.
This episode is brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic it needs no introduction. Jen's just a girl, just like us, and faces the same struggles we all do, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history. My favorite in-shower product is the Intensive Repair Treatment, because I'm so overdue for a trim and it's been so good for reducing breakage on my dead ends. The products are naturally derived, plant-based, and without silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten. And of course, they're cruelty-free and vegan too. So unlock Jennifer Aniston approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code FORTHEGIRLS at checkout. That's 15% off of your order at LolaVie.com with promo code FORTHEGIRLS. Please note that you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support my show and tell them I sent you. I've been trying to save money for a while, but it seemed like my bank account was always stuck. Thankfully, I heard about Rocket Money and gave it a try. It turns out I had a bunch of subscriptions I was paying for that I had totally forgotten about. Rocket Money helped me cancel some of them, and now I'm finally starting to see my account balance going up. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money gives me full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of my expenses. I can see all of my subscriptions in one place, and if I see something I don't want, I can cancel it with a few taps. The dashboard even shows me this month's spending compared to last month, so I can clearly see my spending habits. Plus, they'll help me create a custom budget and keep my spending on track. Rocket Money has over 5 million users that have saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/forthegirls. That's rocketmoney.com/forthegirls. rocketmoney.com/forthegirls.
Yeah, totally. I always feel that way too, because I feel like when someone, if they're thinking about weight loss, their first thought is always like eliminating. Yes. And for me, for example, I don't eat meat and I don't eat dairy. I eat fish. That's like my protein. And, you know, I eat veggies, like carbs and all that. And so whenever I've talked about my own like situation with wanting to lose weight, everyone's first thing is like asking about my diet. I'm like, there's nothing I'm taking out of my diet. I already don't eat so many things. Like I'm more limited on the foods that I do eat. So it is funny how you said that, because everyone's first thing is always like removing rather than adding. But you also made me think about, so I go to Orange Theory, and they were doing this like program thing. I didn't do it, but the trainer was talking about this program. It's like a 9 or 12 week thing where you had the option to sign up for weight loss or for strength building. And I think it was like the weight loss one was maybe just like tread classes, like all cardio. And then the other one was lifting weights. And so
that's
the trainer.
So weird that they labeled it like that's because to lose, because for weight loss, you need to strength train also.
Well, wait. Like, okay, hold on. I'm going to tell you. So they had like two separate programs. And so the trainer at the end of my class was like, oh, who's in the program and which one are you doing? And so say there was like 20 girls in my class. It was like everybody raised their hand for the weight loss. And then one girl raised her hand for the strength training. And the trainer was like, just so everybody knows, because everybody's afraid of lifting weights, like strength training is going to make you lose weight. Yeah. You're going to burn fat by building muscle. Like everyone's afraid of strength training. It's not going to make you bigger. Don't worry. Like, and so when you just said that, it like triggered that memory from when I was in the class that day that no one wanted to do like the building. And now you just said it. You're like, wait, that's so weird.
Yeah. Well, I love that the trainer clarified that. That's a good trainer. Cause a lot of people would be like, whatever, I work for this company that itemized it like this, like I'll just, you know, do my job and whatever. I love that the trainer said that. And I think strength training too is really great for building like shape. Like, so like it is going to help you. If weight loss is your goal, then great. It will help you with that. If, you know, your mental health and feeling good is your goal, it's going to help you with that too. But it's also going to help build like the shape. So like if you want to build your booty, like, you know, want to round, like rounder, stronger, perkier booty, like that's going to help you do that. Mm-hmm. And so like two people could be the same size, but two bodies could look very different. One who strength trains, one who runs all the time. And I think, you know, I don't know about you, but like I want like nice curves, like strong, you know, limbs, like whatever. And so like strength training will definitely help that.
Yeah, absolutely. Something else that I noticed when I was on your page was your hashtag no sacrifices and just that you're all about balance and all that, which I think you also covered a lot of just now, but you talk about like no sacrifices. So, and the balance. So what does that mean to you?
Yeah, it's a tagline my team and I came up with a few years ago, and I love it. I use it all the time. It's a tagline that is just really representative of this like not extreme life. Like it's like indulging in the food, indulging in the drinks, going out, traveling, living your life, and also making time to feel good with your workouts, with your wellness, with your walk. So it's never making any sacrifices. for what's important to you and tuning into your body and yourself every day, every week to figure out like what would be a sacrifice to you and what feels really good and moving toward that. So maybe some weeks it's more of an emphasis on your wellness. It's like, you know, I'm not feeling so great. I really want to get my sleep. I want to meditate every day. I want to work out 4 times. And sometimes like if you're going on a girls trip to Miami, let's say, like we throw that out the window and we just go and have a fun time. And it's okay to do that. And I think a lot of fitness people, they're really extreme. Like it's such like this whole diet culture is really extreme. And I think I said this at the beginning of the episode, but I'm really not about living to work out. I'm all about working out so you have the energy to live your life. And that's what this whole no sacrifices thing kind of is all about.
Yeah. So how do you stay balanced per se? Like, you know, if you are making that time to travel and to have a social life and to go out on your girls trip, like how do you still show up for yourself on those busier days or when your routine is off?
I try and stick to my routine every time that I can, so that when I can't or when I choose not to, I'm okay with it. Mm-hmm. So like day to day, I'm waking up, I'm having my water with my coffee, I'm meditating, reading a little passage, going for a walk and working out. Okay. That's like my default mode. Like my day doesn't really start until that's all done. And I do that as much as I can. If I'm at home with like an open morning, I don't choose not to do that. I will 100% do it. And then the days that I am traveling, the days that I do have fun things planned, the days that I'm hungover, I don't feel bad about fully embracing those days and being in those moments. Like I think it comes down to being really present with yourself and in the moment and pausing to think about like what you need. Like I think at the beginning, it's tempting to be like, if you're listening to your body, as people say, like in quotes, it's tempting to just throw all the wellness out the window and only do the things that feel good in the moment, right? But the more you tune in and the longer you do this, the more you'll realize, no, you actually want to do those wellnessy things as much as you can because you know that that's what feels really good. But then the rest of the time you can be out and enjoying your life. So like what that looks like is like, you know, Monday through Thursday, Friday, give or take a day. So like say Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, I'm doing my really great routine. Maybe Wednesday, I'm out at night, I'm having some drinks. Then on the weekend, you know, I'll go out for dinner and drinks and I'll sleep in. I won't work out one of the days and then maybe I will another. And it just there's no real strict like thing. It just like I flow with it. And in and out based on where I'm at and how I feel. And I really think that tuning into how you feel is the key.
I think if I were to sum up in my own words what you just said, it's like giving yourself grace. Yeah. And a lot of people don't. A lot of people don't give themselves grace, which I think actually leads to even more like inflammation from stress because it's when you start to like resent yourself or get mad at yourself because you missed a day, you know, because you slept in. Like for me, I think my weekends, so my boyfriend and I work out together basically, but he will work out on a Saturday or a Sunday. Me, I will not. Like I allow myself that space to be like, if I want to sleep in on a Saturday, like I'm going to do that because I know that during the week I'm waking up early every single day and getting, you know, what needs to get done. But sometimes people like really have a hard time with giving themselves the space, you know, to just like be unproductive, you know? And I've been saying lately in a lot of episodes, like you don't have to be productive every single day. It doesn't like devalue you. It doesn't make you any less of a human.
I love that so much. And another way, I love how you said it, showing ourselves grace. And another way I think to talk about that is trying to do the most loving thing for yourself on a day-to-day basis. So like literally asking yourself, like, what is the most loving thing I could do for myself right now? That might be a workout and that might be, no, I'm going to sleep in and I'm going to go meet my girlfriends for a boozy brunch. Like, but asking yourself that honestly, and not just jumping to the like boozy brunch thing. But I think both of those, like giving yourself and showing yourself grace and trying to do the most loving thing for yourself like they're both amazing ways to look at it. I know for me too, like I for many years was in this like diet and then cheat day mindset, like diet, workout, and then cheat day kind of thing. And I've really gotten out of that. It was hard, but if I indulge for one meal now, I don't throw the towel in for the whole day like the way I used to. Like I think a lot of people get trapped in that. It's like, no, that meal, I wanted that, but now we just go back into what feels good and maybe we do a little bit more wellness later today. But we don't just like now suddenly it's a cheat day, overindulge, have, you know, more like bags of chips, like whatever it is. Taking it meal by meal instead of in individual days has helped me a lot. And telling myself that like I don't need to eat everything, because if I want more later or tomorrow, I can always have it. Like when you take out that restriction mindset and you let yourself have whatever you want on a more regular basis, you're not as like obsessed with it. So then you don't even want it as much. Like I love chips. I'm a big chips fan. I used to have full bags sometimes. Now I'm like, okay, I'm good right now. And if I want more later, I'll have them. But I don't need to eat the whole bag because it's like a more open attitude toward it.
Yeah, yeah. I love that. First of all, I got to ask, what is your go-to chip flavor?
I have a few right now and they're actually in my cupboard in my kitchen. They're Kettle Brand Backyard Barbecue.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. What's yours?
My go-to is always a salt and vinegar chip.
Like, oh, really? I'm not a salt and vinegar fan.
Really, really salty and a really, really vinegary chip. But I do love barbecue. I like kettle cooked, but I love barbecue baked Lays. I don't know if you ever had them.
I do love
so
those
good.
Too. Yeah, yeah. I love barbecue in general.
Yeah.
That's like
me
my
too.
Vibe.
Me
yeah.
too. Okay, good. I had to know. I had to make sure we're
glad
on the
we got
same,
that. Yeah.
same chip page. Yeah. When people tell me they don't eat chips, I'm like, what?
Are you okay? Yeah, me
yeah,
too.
Yeah, like I'm you're like, not okay. Yeah.
No, I'm like, you're missing out in life.
Okay, so now I think that all of that makes perfect sense. And not only do people have this like battle with themselves and comparison with themselves of like when they're eating good or when they're eating bad, but I think a lot of people have an issue with, you know, or a struggle rather with comparing themselves online to what they see with body image or even like in person, in a class, on social media, whatever it might be. So what would be your biggest advice, not only for people who are really battling within themselves, but battling with comparing themselves to other people?
Yeah, it's really tough. And I think especially comparing yourself online, you can think you're through it and then someone pops up and you're like, oh shit, and you're triggered. I think it's really important both online and in person to surround yourself with people and, you know, online pages that inspire you and that don't make you feel really shit about yourself. Like there's two different types of people, especially let's just start with online. There's people who are expanders online for you that like you look at their page and you're like, wow, I'm so inspired by them. I'm motivated by them. I feel like I could do what they're doing. And then there's people that are like the opposite, like constrictors, like they're triggering. They make you feel worse about yourself. And I think it's really important to only be following expanders. So the people that make you feel really good and connected and empowered and motivated, and honestly unfollow the people that don't. Like, people are public. If you really want to check their page, you can, I guess, still do that. But why have it pop up for you? And if you don't want to unfollow, you can always mute. Like I have a lot of people muted that, you know, for whatever reason, I just don't want to be served their content. Maybe sometimes I'll go look at it, but I don't want it to pop up and them, you know, social media control when I see it. So I think like using those functions is really important on social, and I guess kind of same answer in real life. Like if you're not feeling good in your environments with certain friends, or maybe at the gym you go to or the workout studio you go to, you are not feeling great, you're feeling less than, like removing yourself from those environments and leaning toward the environments and people that make you feel really good is everything. Like you are the content and people that you consume, right? Yeah. Like there's that saying, you are made up of like the five people that you consume the most, whether in person or online. Like, so you have to be really careful and really thoughtful and intentional. That's the word I was looking for, about who those five people are going to be.
Spring is coming. The sun is setting later and later each day. And I just did a massive spring cleaning to reset, starting in the kitchen with my Caraway cookware. I just got all my pots and pans reorganized and I'm getting all my new recipes together to ease out of those winter dinners. There's no better feeling than a fresh start. With so many collections to explore, there's sure to be a Caraway for every kind of cook. I now have a white and a black ceramic set. There is even stainless steel, squareware, and bakeware too. And all sets come with complimentary, easy access storage solutions to keep the kitchen tidy. I had some empty space in the corner of my kitchen counter, so I just stacked one of my Caraway sets with the organizers, and the aesthetic is just chef's kiss. No pun intended. And not only do they fit perfectly in my kitchen, but they're non-toxic, so they fit my healthy lifestyle habits too. So visit carawayhome.com/forthegirls to take advantage of this limited time offer for 10% off your next purchase. This deal is exclusive for our listeners. So visit carawayhome.com/forthegirls or use code forthegirls at checkout. Caraway, non-toxic cookware made modern. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. My social battery has been drained lately after catching up on work, meeting my deadline, spring cleaning, prepping everything I have to cook for the upcoming holidays, and trying to find time to spend with my friends and family on top of it all. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up, so it's so important to be aware of how you recharge. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. BetterHelp can help you learn and set boundaries and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It's not just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime if need be at no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/forthegirls today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/forthegirls.
Yes, intentionality is quite literally everything in life. It's one of my favorite sayings is the way you do anything should be the way you do everything.
Yeah.
And I think the more intentional you are, the more intentionally you live, you will live like just a really like fulfilled or at least a content life. Like you'll just be happier. I firmly believe. And of course it also comes down to, you know, accepting yourself and loving yourself. And I want to ask you about that because in regards to your divorce, I saw that you had posted something about how going through such a big change like that made your body fluctuate, which mm-hmm. most people, most women especially, go through. But some women, more than others, take that really, really hard. So how did you learn and how did you find ways to really accept and really love your body through all of these changes, especially when you were going through like dark or hard times?
Yeah, my body has really fluctuated hugely over the last few years. I lost a lot of weight from stress and lack of appetite when I was making the decision to go through the separation and ultimately the divorce. And then kind of immediately after, I lost even more weight. And then after that, as I started to rebuild my life and move along my healing journey, part of that was getting my appetite back and eating more and, you know, doing things I loved, seeing my friends, going out for dinner, going out for drinks. And naturally, my body fluctuated in the other direction. And quite frankly, a lot of my clothes from those divorce days don't fit anymore. Like a lot of my, particularly my jeans, like they don't do up. Like they just don't. And I've had to be really gentle with myself. And I've done a few things. Well, one, I mentioned this already, I don't weigh myself. So the scale has gone and it's just me, how I feel. I have gotten rid of a lot of clothes that don't fit. I've sold or donated them, and I've ordered new clothes that are the right size for me. Like, I want to feel good in the clothes that I'm wearing. I don't want the size to like dictate how I feel. And it's like so funny. Like, you know, you can put on a size small, like whatever, smaller size in pants and feel terrible and go one size up and feel great. And it's like, why do we let that number dictate, like, right? Like how we feel. And then I really turn to gratitude for my body. I think because I was so stressed and anxious and fully in like a depressive episode, like my primary, like real depressive episode during that time of making the decision. And just being out of that, I was just so grateful that I was out of it, that, and for my body for getting me through it, that I was just like, whatever. Like, if this is the price that I'm paying, if a size or two up in my clothes is the price that I'm paying to be really happy and to be through these really dark times, then so be it. Like, so it was this real attitude of gratitude. And then eating to fuel my body, not for any sort of like weight management, like really leaning into like nourishing whole foods. And then following body positive and body acceptance people on social really helped. It was like a combination of all these things. And I can truly say I've learned to love and accept my body through the ups and downs, knowing that the ups aren't going to last too long and the downs aren't going to last too long. And it's always going to flow in between based on what's happening in my life. And that's kind of like representative of life too. And it's an attitude shift I've had about everything in life. Like, you know, when you're up at the top, you know, say you're climbing a mountain, you're up at the top, you don't think, oh, this is all there is up here, this beauty. And when you're like walking through a valley, say you're hiking and a low point, you don't think, oh, this valley is going to last forever. You know that there's ups and downs on this walk or hike or whatever. So like life is the same way, and like letting the waves come and like riding them no matter which way they go.
I love that. I love like the visual, because I was actually picturing the valleys and the mountains. Saying that, so I love that. What really I think is like sticking out at me, like while you were saying all that, was a few times you mentioned like the decision, like making that decision. So I want to know, on a more personal note, like how did you find the strength to make that decision? Like, how did you know it was time to really go through and end that relationship? Because I think a lot of women really just stay, how they know that it's, whether they know or not that it's time, but they don't have the strength to actually leave. So how did you really make that decision?
Yeah, I think that's like a great question. And it's like probably the biggest question I get asked by women like ever.
They're probably asking because they're like, yeah, I want to know for myself.
And I want to make a video about this on social too. So, okay, I do sort of have an answer, but I want to say first that I was fortunate enough to have like the financial means to do this. And I think not all women do. And it was hard. I've had to make many sacrifices. By financial means, I don't mean like so much financial flexibility. It was really tough, and I like had to maneuver a lot of things to like make this work. But I still had that. So I do want to acknowledge that. But in making the decision on figuring out like basically when to let go, I think the first step was accepting that I'm never going to be 100% certain. And there's always, no matter which way I go, so if I stay or if I go, there is a loss and there's grief involved. And there's no one that is the right answer where I'm going to take that path and I'm just going to be great. So if you go, you're going to grieve the loss of the relationship of the person, obviously. That's the obvious one. But I think one that we miss often is if you stay, you have to also grieve the life that could have been. And that's an unknown. And I think ultimately when it came down to it, for me, I would rather grieve the known of, because I was already in the relationship. So leaving it and him, I knew what that was like. So I would rather leave, and ultimately I did, and grieve that, than stay in the relationship and grieve the potential life that I could have had that I'll never really know what it was going to be, who was going to be in it, what I was going to do, where I was going to do, all of those things. But accepting that either way, it's going to be really hard and you're not going to be 100% sure, I think is the first step. And then the second step is creating enough space in your life to tune into your own intuition and your own heart to know what you want to do. Like, I think a lot of people want the answer of, should I stay or should I go? But only you can make that decision. And how you make that decision is, one, accepting it's going to be hard either way, and two, making enough space in your life to feel which thing you want to do. Like, if you're just waking up, going to work out, going to work, coming home, cooking dinner, going to bed, like, you are never going to feel what is best for you. Like, you have to slow down and create that space by, like, people don't want to hear this, but by meditating, by journaling, like writing out your feelings and your thoughts. Like, you know, I didn't want to leave my ex-husband. Like, he was a wonderful man. I wanted to not want to leave, like, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yep.
And I every day would be like, how could I leave? How could I leave? But then I would read my journals, and it was pretty clear what I was writing every day was like, I wasn't happy, you know, like, I didn't want to be there, even though I wanted to want to be there. So I think, like, the meditating, the journaling, the walks, the, like, slowing down and creating space in your life to let those messages and those feelings come through. That way you make a decision that is actually from your own heart and your own intuition, not based on what I or your family or your friends or what social media is saying.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, every girl can relate to wanting to want to stay, because no one wants to go through a breakup, especially divorce. No one ever intends to get married thinking that divorce is, you know, on the other side of it. So nobody wants to go through it. But I love when you said it's going to be hard either way. It reminds me of that quote that's just like, choose your hard. Yeah. You know, choose your hard. It's going to be hard to stay and it's going to be hard to go. So choose, like, your hard. Which one is worth it?
Yes. And that choose your hard goes to fitness too. It's hard to wake up and work out most days, but it's harder to be 50, 60, 70 and have really bad mobility, not a lot of strength, unable to do the things you want to do. So choose your hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would rather do the harder thing. Like, I'd rather do the harder thing now than kind of just be complacent and end up having to do the harder thing later. So a third part of my piece of advice that I just sort of thought of that I do come back to a lot is, what feels like the brave, expansive choice? Like, when you feel into it, what is, like, lighting you up, feeling open, feeling like there's possibilities? Brave, expansive, all these words, like, what usually, if you think about it that way, like, one of the decisions to stay or to go will feel brave. And that I really try and do the brave thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that when you ask yourself that question, it allows you to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Whereas if you're just going to stay in the relationship and there's really no solutions to the problems or you're unhappy, it's very hard to see that light at the end of the tunnel. So I think that perspective gives you that light. It gives you something to look forward to, honestly. I know so many women who have gone through divorces or gone through breakups from long-term relationships that are like, I had no idea I was going to feel this good after. Like, they feel so liberated. They feel like a weight lifted off their shoulders, but you don't know until you go for it, you know?
And it totally. And also, all those things, for sure. I have felt that amazing, happy, so fulfilled, so grateful I made the decision. And also, many days it's really hard. Like, just because it's the right decision does not make it easy. You have so much grief. There's so much loss involved, so much change in your life and routine and all of that. But you still know it's the right choice. Like, I still have moments of grief. I've been separated for almost a year and a half. And like, I still have moments of grief, because before it was like the breakup grief. Now it's like the real reality of, like, after being together for 12 years, we were together for 12 years. So it's like a lot of my life, you know, a year and a half later, it's like, okay, this person's really not coming back. This person who was my family, who was my best friend, like they're not coming back. So it's like a shift in the grief, but it doesn't hit me like it used to, like, you know, it used to hit me like every day, all day, right? And then it got to weeks or months. And now it's like, you know, maybe like once a month, I'll have one day where I feel like it's an adjustment and I'm feeling like the loss. It's not, grief is not linear, but that I've not felt that I've made the wrong choice ever.
Yeah. That is just grief, even with like death, you know, not to get morbid or anything. It hits you. It could be, you know, 10 years since somebody passed. And I'm sure you experienced this with your mother. Like it could be years since someone's passed. And then one day on a random Tuesday, you just break down and you cry because you miss that person or you miss the life that you have with that person, even knowing like, you know, this is just grief and I'm never going to have this person back in my life. Like it just hits you sometimes. It comes in waves and it has a weird way of presenting itself for sure.
Totally.
From, you know, your divorce and going through what you've gone through over the past year and a half, what would you say has been your biggest takeaway from your healing journey?
Oh, that's a really good question. I don't know if I've been asked that before. I think I've really learned to flow with life, like to let things come and let them go and detach from things, from people, trying not to hold on so tightly, but like release the grip. Like things, the only constant is change in our lives. So, and I, because I've, you know, I lost my mom, I've lost some other people close to me, I went through a divorce, I have like abandonment sort of is my main issue that I work through in therapy and things. And abandonment can be, you know, by choice or not. So like a death could be abandonment. And I feel like I used to hold on to everything so tight, to situations, to different people. And I think this divorce has really taught me how to be in the present moment and come back to myself and know that like I'm okay without any of those other things. I can make a home for myself within me. I'm never by myself. I'm always with myself. And to loosen the grip on all the other stuff that's around me and flow with life instead of like fighting it. Like when you're holding on so tight, it's like you're fighting it. But instead like ride the waves and like flow with it. And sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad, and know that each stage is not going to last and it's all just like part of it. So I think like, am I great at that? Like I wouldn't say so yet, but like this divorce has been, I think, the biggest lesson in that. And I've noticed since anything else has happened since the divorce, like I have acted and treated it differently, which it's really cool when you can look at what's happening and like see the growth in yourself.
Yeah. Wow. First of all, I'm never by myself. I'm always with myself. Yeah. Like, are you like a philosopher? Like, hold on.
Okay. Wait. My therapist said that to me and it stuck with me. So I can't take credit. We have to thank my therapist.
I love that so much. Like it really gave me all the good vibes. I really love that. It's such a good way to think about it, because I'm sure throughout this healing journey, like you've felt lonely, you know, at times. And I also just think, even whether or not you're in a relationship, but like singleness is a very lonely time. Cause I was single up until now. I have a boyfriend. I was single always. I had boyfriends in high school. And then from the age of 18 through up until I met my boyfriend a week before I turned 28, that's 10 years of being single. Yeah. And I always say like, there's a strength in staying single throughout that time period, because it is super lonely. And what a lot of people don't realize is like, it's really easy to get a boyfriend. It's really easy to get into a relationship. Like 100%. No woman is ever single because she can't get a man. Like let's put that out there. Let's put that 100% on the record. Agree. Yeah. So for a woman to choose to stay single and choose to go through, you know, a lot of solitude and a lot of lonesome, like that takes a lot of strength and a lot of inner work. So I think that statement right there is very profound. Like I'm never by myself, I'm always with myself, is something that could really help single women especially.
Totally. I hope so. If you're listening and you heard that, I hope that it's really, really helpful.
I love those like one-liners that just like get you. Well, actually, to wrap this up, I'm going to have you help a little sing. I think she's single. I'm looking at the question. I do a Dear Victoria segment the end of my episodes where I let my listeners email me, like asking for advice or whatever. So I'm going to have you answer this one because I feel like it was so good for you. I like to make them like relevant to the topic.
Yeah, totally. So okay, let's hear it.
I think that she's single and I think that we're going to get into a little bit more of single girl advice. So here we go. Dear Victoria, you make a lot of content about letting go of relationships that don't fit your standards. And as much as I know, this is the hardest part for girls to do, and it should definitely be the focus. I would love to have some advice on the after phase when you make that move. I broke up with my boyfriend because he wasn't giving me what I wanted. It took a while because he kept saying he would change, and I believed him. But now I'm so confused. I'm insecure of my decision. I'm scared I threw away something really good for me in the future. And I definitely don't know the difference between letting go and giving up. Have you ever felt this way after breaking up with somebody? Any advice here?
Totally. What is meant for you will not pass you by. Like, I could say so much. And I will say more, but that I think is really important to remember when you're doubting any decision that you've made. So for this person in particular, it's leaving their relationship, breaking up with their boyfriend. What is meant for you will not pass you by. If he is meant for you, maybe you wouldn't have broken up with him, or he will come back to you. But the fact that you are broken up right now, like there is no coincidences. There's no regrets. Everything happens exactly how it's supposed to. So know that like you are exactly where you're supposed to be. And if he really is meant for you, then he will come back to you, but it will only be once he has gone on his own growth journey to get to a place where like that, like he deserves you, because she said that he wasn't meeting her needs. You can't tell someone how to act, how to love you. Like, you can guide them, but they need to like grow and learn that stuff on their own. So you almost, I think, like if I was her, I wouldn't want to be with that person right now. I would want them to go learn, go experience, and then if and when they're ever ready, come back. And what will probably happen is she will have moved on by then. And because she sounds like she's the kind of person that's really focused on working on herself, she's going to be working on herself, growing, evolving, learning, and like rising like as a person. And she's going to attract someone that is at that higher level who can meet her needs and treat her exactly how she wants and how she deserves. So I know it's really hard because we question ourselves, like, did I make the right decision? I don't know. Am I going to regret it? Da, 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 da. But it's always happening exactly how it's supposed to. If he's meant for you, he'll come back, or you'll find someone better. Like, that's it.
Yeah. I'm not opposed to people getting back together when like the timing aligns. You know, I believe wholeheartedly in divine timing and divine reasoning. Like you said, everything happens how it's supposed to, and everything happens when it's supposed to. So you were supposed to break up right now. And if you are supposed to get back together, then it will be at the right time. What I am opposed to, because she's saying, you know, I'm insecure of my decision, is her going back to him.
No, don't go back. Do not do that.
Only way getting back will work out is if he, exactly what Alessia said, he works on himself and comes back to you. That is quite literally the only way that it'll work out. If she turns back on her decision now and is like, never mind, then he'll be like, oh, wow, I got it made so easy. She just dropped everything that she wants, you know? So
yeah.
If you're going to get back together, that's fine, but it's got to be on him.
And it has to be a new relationship when you get back together. So you can't just pick up where you left off so soon. Like, both people have to heal and get to a place where like you can start fresh if you were to get back together. So you kind of have to get over him no matter what. And if he's meant to come back, then you can start a new relationship when you get back together, when he's ready. Honestly, probably you're going to be over him by then.
But, yeah.
But it's good to like have it as an option, you know, as a possibility in the future. And until then, focus on yourself. Pour all the love that you would otherwise be pouring into him into you. So what is it that you like to do? Like hobbies, like travel, whatever. Do all of that. and you're just going to like soar. This is like, this is a moment in time. Just focus on yourself, pour that love into yourself, and you're going to be good.
Yeah, I totally agree. Emphasis on what she said. It has to be a new relationship. You cannot get back together and still fight about the same things. You cannot still have the same needs that are not being met. It has to be a new relationship where you're just starting on a much stronger and better note. So that's that on that. Alessia, where can all the girls find you and connect with you?
I'm at Alessia Sculpt on Instagram and TikTok, A-L-E-S-S-I-A, Sculpt. And then I have my online fitness platform, asculptbody.com. That's all linked like on my socials as well. And I have a 7-day free trial. I have over 300 low impact sculpt, strength, stretch, and cardio workouts. So you can go there and try it out. I have like a weekly schedule that I release. So would love to have you.
Amazing. This conversation was so much fun. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. This was great.